Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's topic we are calling Life in the Heights, Part 12. And by popular request, some asked that we address the question of some hot water types of issues in the Heights. Meaning to say, there is a rumor going around, not only in the Heights, but in many communities. If you live in a apartment building, I think all of us live in apartment buildings, no? It's like, welcome to the Heights. Right, so if you live in an apartment building, some people say, well, you know, maybe you could use the hot water on Shabbos. That's what some contend. And we will try to explain both what this is based on and also why this may or may not be correct. A similar issue that we will address tonight, which is not so relevant this time of year, but more relevant in the winter months, is many of us who live in the Heights have these old-fashioned radiators that steam comes out of the radiators. And what you could do is you could turn a knob and raise the steam. Or you can, you'll forgive me for sitting, I'm just a little tired. Or you could lower a knob and lower the steam. Well, is that permitted or not permitted on Shabbos, right? Is that okay or not okay? That is the question that we have to deal with. Now, the question actually revolves around a few, both questions revolve around a few fundamental issues. Let's take the radiator question, because I think that's a question that we could deal with first. And that revolves around the question about heating liquids on Shabbos, heating water, when the water was previously heated. No? Because think about it. All the water in my radiator, right? I'm assuming that the radiators are like a closed system, right? Which means that there is a limited amount of water. You don't want to drink that water. Don't try it, right? You don't want to drink the water. But there's a limited amount of water in the system. And what happens is that there's like steam that comes through and heats up the water that's in the system. Now, when I turn that knob up, I am controlling the amount of steam that comes in, and more steam is coming, and it's heating up more water. Right? When I lower it, what I'm doing is I'm heating less water. No? That's basically, and you know this because those of you, how many of you have like these old-fashioned radiators in your apartments?
You mean metal, like
those metal radiators?
Those look like radiators.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if mine has steam or not.
I do.
I have one.
I have one.
But in mine, it's hidden behind like a metal plate.
Under the window.
Under the window.
It doesn't stand outside.
It doesn't stand outside. Like my grandmother used to have them standing outside. Mine is not standing outside. It's behind the metal plate. You gotta be careful. You could touch those things. You could really burn your digits,
close
your fingers.
What? Have those radiator covers.
You have radiator covers, right? Now, if you have that, really, right, you can notice sometimes when you turn on the steam that you could hear like a little sizzle.
When you turn it up.
Mm-hmm. When you turn it up, you could hear a little sizzle. What's that sizzle? That sizzle is that you are now boiling more water, correct? Yeah. But the water that I'm boiling was previously boiled.
Right?
Yeah. So is this permitted on the Holy Sabbath or is it forbidden on the Holy Sabbath? That's the question that I want to discuss first. And let's learn the source sheets together because that's why we have them. Source 1, Mishnah and Shabbos. The Mishnah teaches us a basic principle of Judaism of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul means when something is cooked, there is no subsequent cooking. Whoa, that's not bad, no? The Mishnah writes, Kosher Babacham in Me'er Shabbos, any food item that was put in hot water before Shabbos, Shurin Oso Bacham in B'Shabbos. You're allowed to soak it in hot water on Shabbos. Kosher Lo Babacham Me'er Shabbos, Medichin Oso Bacham in B'Shabbos. If it wasn't put in hot water from Erev Shabbos, so then you can pour hot water on it, but you can't soak it in hot water. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, what this Mishnah is basically teaching me is a rule called Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is if a food item was cooked, it can't be recooked. And Maimonides, the Rambam tells me, Hamavasho al ha'or, davar shayam avushal kol tzarko, o davar sheino tzarech bishul klal, putter. Zuck the Rambam, that if I heat up on fire something that was already fully cooked, so patur, meaning that's not an Issur D'oraisa on Shabbos, that is rabbinically forbidden, that's what the Rambam says. Now, a few things about the Maimonides, the Rambam. A, Rambam was cool. B, Rambam was orthodox. C, Rambam is teaching us two new things over here. New thing one that the Rambam is telling me is, when I want to apply the rule of something that was cooked, the Rambam says that means something that was fully cooked. No? Right? That's what he writes. Hamavashal ahar, dabar shayam mevushal kol tzarko. It was fully cooked, I could reheat it. In halacha, on Shabbos, if I cook something, what we call ma'achal ben jerusoy, if I cook it, let's say, halfway, so that's also cooking. But for the Rambam, it's cooking. There's like an unusual thing, no? It's cooking that I can be chayiv for cooking something halfway on Shabbos. But it's not cooking in that this half-cooked item, half-baked, no? Is that what your teacher told you about your essays in ninth grade? Your essays are half-baked? So if you have a half-baked essay, says the Rambam, you're not allowed to heat it all the way up, because you're cooking it more.
Yes, is it edible? When it's half-cooked, is it edible?
Half-cooked is edible.
Going from rare steak to well-done steak, is you could eat it rare.
You could eat it rare, absolutely. Even so, for the Rambam, I am obligated for cooking if I go from rare to well-done. They go from half-cooked to all the way cooked. Even though it was edible beforehand, the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, according to the Rambam, is that you can only be cooking on Shabbos if what you do is effective. Going from half-cooked to fully cooked is effective. You're accomplishing.
Okay.
Right? So in Mitzius, in reality, I am cooking this item because now it's fully cooked. That's what the Rambam writes. Now, the Rush over here, now, another point within the Rambam, just to note, is the Rambam does not distinguish at all between solids and liquids. You notice that? Rambam writes, if I cook on a fire something that was fully cooked, something could be anything. Anything that is fully cooked for the Rambam, there is no re-cooking. In other words, if I have water...
You mean there's no re-cooking allowed, or there's no such thing?
There's no prohibition of re-cooking it for the Rambam. Right? It's not prohibited according to Torah law. It might still be rabbinically forbidden, but according to Torah law for the Rambam, something that was fully cooked, even if it's a liquid. So the water in my radiator system... That was fully cooked water, because it gets to steam. It gets to 212, no?
Yes.
Maybe, probably. Right? Let's assume that it does, right? Because there's steam that's heating up that water. That water was fully cooked. Fully cooked water for the Rambam. There is no Torah prohibition of re-cooking it, even though it's a liquid. Now, the thing about a liquid is like this. You see, a solid food... When I recook it, I am not really changing it. A liquid, however, if I heat up a liquid, then it's cooked, and then it cools down, so the entire cooking, to use a bad expression, evaporated. Right? If you have a liquid, right, and you heat it up, so the liquid is now hot, it's now cooked. Great. When it cools down, it lost its cooking. Right? That's our expression in the Rishonim, Uzla Levishulei. The cooking is lost. And based on this, there is a school of Rishonim, the Rush primarily among them. The Rush says that cooking a liquid on Shabbos, even if the liquid was fully cooked beforehand, The Rav says you are obligated, you are chayiv for cooking on Shabbos.
What?
Because what? Because, yeah, it was fully cooked, but all that cooking went bye-bye. Because it cooled down and all the cooking is now gone.
Well, the thing is, if you cook food with certain things and it cools down, it's still edible, what does cooking mean in terms of water?
So cooking in terms of water, let's assume, means that I heat up the water and now it is usable as hot water to make tea. Okay. Now some Rishonim, by the way, understand that cooking by water is a halachic principle that when I heat it up, it's now usable for bathing. That's already what I would call advanced. I got in trouble when I used this expression in my shir in Stern. I said, you know, we won't discuss it because that's like advanced Talmud. And the women in Stern said, but this class is listed as advanced Talmud. I'm like, we got ya. Okay, but I mean, the point is yes. Fine. So what we have over here basically is, let me just make one more point, okay, and then we will try to figure it out, la halacha, in terms of the radiators.
Okay.
Right? So we have so far two positions. Maimonides does not distinguish between liquids and solids. The Rush does distinguish between liquids and solids. The Rambam, though, says it has to be fully cooked to apply the rule of ein bishul achar bishul.
Mm-hmm.
There is another school in Rishonim called the Rashba, and the Rashba says that I will apply ein bishul achar bishul once something is half cooked. Once it's half cooked, I will say you can't halachically be in violation of cooking, because cooking something halfway on Shabbos, you're obligated. So if you reheat it past half cooked, you can't be obligated twice for the same thing. That's the position of the Rashba. So we have three positions that we are going to grapple with, and then we will see the Shulchan Aruch. Yes, sir.
This may be a slight tangent, but
if it's a real tangent, I won't go into it. If it's a slight tangent, maybe I'll be in a good mood and I'll go into it.
But we put up Chol before Shabbos, and then it cooks partly on Shabbos. What would the Rambam and the Rush say about that?
Remember, so once it was on the fire from before Shabbos, the halacha views it like it's a continuation of Erev Shabbos in cooking. So I can't be obligated for that.
Okay.
Now, there might be a rabbinic prohibition to leave something on an open fire from Erev Shabbos if it's not half-cooked before Shabbos, and you might need a blech for that. But that's like rabbinic prohibitions, etc. That's not our topic of conversation tonight.
All right.
Good? Mr. Lockerman, in the back.
Once you do something, you can't be high for the end. So
Once I do something to this object, I can't be chayiv on that same object again.
So
it's object-oriented.
So if I have a patch of land and I plow it, and then I run the plow over it again on Shabbos, that's not chayiv?
Again, so we have to discuss, of the 39 prohibitions on Shabbos, by some of them I will say ein x achar x, by others I won't say ein x achar x. That's a very fertile, pardon the pun, area to investigate. Like, for example, by Ma'amer, we say, Ein Imor Achar Imor. If I made a bundle, I bundled it up once, I can't be chayiv again. By Tochein, I say, Ein Tochein Achar Tochein. For example, if I have a piece of bread, and I take it in my hand, and I crumble it up, that's not called grinding on Shabbos. Because it was already ground when the wheat became flour, so I can't be obligated for grinding it twice. No? Then there's a question about whether this is true by all malachos or not, and that, as we say, is beyond the scope of this class. How's that? Okay? That's beyond our scope. So now, in Shulchan Aruch, the Sfardi opinion, the Mechaber Paskins, that Ein Bishol Achar Bishol is true only on solids, not on liquids, and therefore I'm only allowed to reheat a liquid when the liquid is actually still halachically hot. For the Sfaradim, I can only reheat a liquid if the liquid is really, really hot still.
So what's reheating?
So reheating it would be, let's say the liquid is 120 degrees, and I want to bring it up to 130 or 140, that's okay. I have a cup of tea, and it's beginning to cool down a teeny bit. No one likes, or no good British individual likes tea that is lukewarm. Tis lukewarm! That is awful! This is for the barbarians! No? You ever heard like a British person kvetch about their tea?
No.
Okay, you're missing out.
I have, go
to Ribbitson Gully, right?
I have
this is for the barbarians. Right? Now, I don't know.
What about iced tea? Did they do iced tea?
But the point is, if I take tea and I raise the temperature from like 120 to 140, that is okay. Because 120 is Yad Sola, this is halachically cooked. 140 is Yad Sola, this is halachically cooked. But let's say it dips beneath a 120 degree threshold. So for the Sfaradim, I can't reheat that.
How are you going to know that on Shabbos? Because you can't measure.
Great question. Let's say you know. You're a great expert.
Your tea can tell from the tea.
Huh?
You can tell with the tea.
You can tell, maybe. Yeah, I mean, you know. You know, we can't ask that question. How do you know? You know.
Stick your hand in if you get burned.
Sticking your hand in and get burned is both unethical. Right? The Gemara says that Yad Soled, this is like when the baby's stomach will get scalded. Do not try that at home.
Ooh.
Right? Do not do that. That is super duper unethical. And also, you know, anytime you are prepared for something hot, your body can withstand the pressure. Right? Like my hands will recoil if I am expecting cold water and it ends up being hot. But I could take a shower. Or right, if I know the water is going to be hot, I can withstand that temperature. So it's not so easy to figure this out. There's a variety of positions regarding what is called Yad Soledes, but I'm giving approximate numbers that some posts can agree with, obviously not everybody, and what can we do? So now, according to the Mechaber, right, you are allowed to heat up liquid only if it's still hot. The Ramah, however, writes that the minhag is, Ramah, the bottom line of this Se'if Tesvav, at the bottom of page 1, v'nohagol ha'chokol b'zeh emlo nitztanein legamrei. The Ramah says that our practice is to be lenient to reheat a liquid if it is not completely cooled off. Completely cooled off means it's back to room temperature. If it's above room temperature, you are allowed to reheat that liquid for the Ramah. Now, it's unclear exactly where the Ramah got this idea from. And in Rabbi Willig's book on, in English, The Laws of Cooking and Warming Food on Shabbat.
Oh, that's great.
What?
It's great.
It's a good book. All right, so Rabbi Willig has a whole chapter, beginning on page 21, called The Ramah's Compromise. When the Ramah says that so long as it is above room temperature, you can reheat it, does that mean that fundamentally the Ramah holds that by a liquid there is no cooking once it was cooked? And even if it would have been completely cool, I could reheat it. Alternatively, maybe it means that by a liquid there would be cooking, right, once it's cooled, but it's not considered cold. And this question could be very relevant for our radiators, in theory, because in our radiators, when I heat up the water, I turn on my steam. So it really depends how hot the radiator is and what temperature it is. And one can make a case that maybe the liquid over there might be hotter than room temperature, but I don't know. And when I discussed this with a few people who know more physics than I do, they told me there's a lot of water at the bottom of these radiators. Really a lot of water. And the more water there is, the more likely it is that that water is actually cold. And therefore, Rav Henkin writes in his Tshuvos, in the Ezra Yisrael, Rav Henkin writes that you should not turn up your radiator. Turning down a radiator should be okay. Because when I turn down a radiator, presumably I'm not heating any more water. Right? That should be obvious. In Rav Posen, you know, from 56 Bennett? Mm-hmm. So in Rav Posen Sefer, in Hilchos Shabbos, in chapter 38, Halacha 4, Rav Posen writes that he thinks even turning down a radiator on Shabbos is forbidden. Because he says it's uvdin d'chol, it's weekday activity. Now that's already a Pandora's box. I don't know exactly what's weekday activity, what isn't. It's a little hard to define. I wouldn't say a little hard, I'd say it's very hard to define what's considered uvdin d'chol. But Rav Posen says not even to lower the radiator. I'm under the impression that you're allowed to lower radiators on Shabbos, but not to raise them. Good? Now, yes, sir. Yeah, so again, I'm not a physicist. My understanding is, I'm talking about like the old-fashioned radius, that there's like accumulated water that was once heated at the bottom, and as you turn up the steam, more steam comes in and it heats that water. It's entirely possible that different radiators operate differently. I have, like, I don't know. I'm an old-fashioned guy. You know, I live in the Heights. Right? Fine. Next. What about the faucets? Now, faucets work as follows. You have this thing in the basement of your building called a boiler. Right? Mm-hmm. You know what a boiler is?
Yes.
It's a boiler! Right, that's what it is, no? It's a big, gigantic pot of water that gets heated by gas or oil. And it boils in there. And what happens is that every boiler has a intake valve and an outtake valve, no? Mm-hmm. Which means when I take hot water out, I am causing more cold water to come in.
Take its place.
And that cold water is getting heated by the hot water that's in the boiler, no? Mm-hmm. So there is a huge discussion about boilers on Shabbos. I brought a book here. There is a Machon Mada'i Technologi Lebayot Halacha. Okay, there is a Halachic and Technological Institute for Halachic Problems. And in the late 70s, early 80s, they published a few very important books on Halacha. And the first important book that they published is about Chimum Mayim B'Shabbat, heating water on Shabbos. And they discuss boilers. Right? Makes sense, no? Now, here's the thing. In halacha, when I turn on my hot water, so hot water comes out, immediately cold water will come in. Right? Most poskim assume, they deal with this in at great length on page 62 in this book, most poskim assume the cold water that comes in, it is the equivalent of me taking cold water and pouring it in. It's my action that is causing the cold water to enter the boiler. Some contend that it might be grumma, it might be indirect, because what I'm doing is I'm releasing the hot water from the boiler, and then because of, what's the process in physics that draws more water in to fill that void? Who's a physics guy?
My father.
He's not helping me.
He's not here.
There's got to be some physics guy somewhere who's listening to the share, and they'll tell me what the process is called. But there's some process that draws the cold water in. Some say maybe it's halachically grumma. Maybe halachically it's called indirect causation, that the additional water enters the boiler. And therefore, maybe you are not really the halachic person who is heating up that water. If it would be grumma, you could use your water on Shabbos. But this book spends like 10 pages proving that it's not grumma. And then he said, you know what? I spent a lot of time on this. I don't think I did a good enough job. So the next volume that they put out, from the Machon Mada'i Technologi, the next volume that they put out is called Ma'ase Ugrumma B'Shabbos. The next volume that they put out was, how do I define what's my action? How do I define what's indirect on Shabbos? A very important question. Now, so let's assume it's my action that brings the water, that brings the cold water into the boiler on Shabbos. So far, so good? So the cold water is getting heated. So anytime I turn on hot water, more cold water comes into the boiler. Nonetheless, there are some who contend that in a multi-dwelling residence, you can use hot water on Shabbos. And the reason is as follows. You could see this in Rabbi Ribiat's volumes on Hilchos Shabbos. It's footnote 264 in Bishul, right? In Bishul footnote 264, Rabbi Ribiat explains it as follows. He says, you know what? When I turn on my hot water, so cold water will come in, but there's only one cold water intake pipe. That means if cold water is already coming in the boiler at the same time, because the boiler only has one cold water intake, so I'm not really doing anything extra. Because cold water is already coming in. Now, is this correct? Yeah, I have to speak to a plumber. But Rabbi Willig, in his book, on page 15, writes, note, other expert plumbers deny this fact. They state that the amount of water in the tank is always the same. For every drop that goes out, a drop of cold comes in. If so, the water is heated to 120 Fahrenheit immediately, which is a Torah violation of cooking. In other words, Rabbi Willig spoke to his plumbers, and they said, whoa, 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 whoa. Even if some water is coming in already because someone else is using the hot water at that time, when you turn on your hot water, you're making more water come in. I don't know the answer to this. You have to get a good plumber. But Rabbi Ribiat, in his book, contends that if you can assume, let's say you live in a building, and you are the only Jew in the building, and there are lots of goyim, and you can assume, says Rabbi Ribiat, that when you are turning on the hot water, there is some goy who's already using hot water in the building. For example, when do people shower?
Morning.
In the morning. At night. Different people shower at different times, but most often people are not showering at noon. It's unlikely someone is showering noontime. So, for Shabbos lunchtime, I can't turn on my hot water. Because it's not likely anyone in the building is really using hot water at that time.
They could be using it for something else.
They could be, but the likelihood is very slim. Right? Rabbi Ribiat's argument is an interesting halachic argument, which is based on what we call in halacha a suffik psik resha. Suffik psik resha is as follows. Suffik psik resha means if I do an action A, I take hot water from the boiler. As a result of that action, B happens. Cold water enters the boiler and gets heated. Right? It's inevitable. But I don't know that I'm responsible for this because maybe cold water is already coming in. Maybe not. So it's a suffix. If I have a refrigerator light bulb, there's a light bulb in my refrigerator. I don't remember if I unscrewed it for Shabbos or not. If I opened the door and it was unscrewed beforehand, I didn't do anything wrong. If I opened the door and it was not unscrewed beforehand, I did something wrong. Right? That's a suffix situation, if I'm not sure. Now, it seems to me that has to be like a legitimate suffix. That's why it seems to me that you could only rely on this, even if you can rely on it. You can only rely on it Shabbos morning, maybe, and Shabbos and late Friday night. And you can only rely on it if you live in a building that there's a very considerable amount of goyim compared to Jews. So I have a much better chance that someone has cold water entering the boiler. There's one apartment of goyim. Like in my building, I think there are four apartments. It's a 60-dwelling residence, and there are four apartments of goyim in my building. So it's highly unlikely that there's water coming in. Yeah, Frida.
First of all, showers aren't the only thing people do, and some people don't have water, even if there are. Like,
maybe they're washing dishes.
People are washing dishes. People are washing their hands. People are bathing their babies.
Correct. So again, but I think we have to.
Lots of buildings have
showering. I'm using showering as an example because you have the hot water on for a longer amount of time.
Okay.
But you're right. Absolutely. If I can assume that someone is using the hot water at the same time that I use the hot water, Rabbi Ribiat says it is permitted, or he quotes some who say it's permitted because of this rule, suffik psikresha. Now, the thing is, I give you a lot of sources on the back over here about suffix psikresha. The Taz permits it, Rebbe Kiva Eger forbids it. I give you a lot of sources. The Melamed Lahua, Reb David Zvi Hoffman, says that suffix psikresha is permitted on Shabbos, and it's forbidden by Basar B'cholov. By Basar B'cholov, let's say there's a pot that's cooking water, and I think maybe a guy cooked Basar B'cholov in the pot beforehand. Am I allowed to stoke the coals? That's like a suffix psikresha. Right? So Rebbe Kiva Eger says it's forbidden, the Taz says it's permitted. There's a whole literature on this topic. But I have the following insight. Ready for my insight? Schwartz's. The Mishnah Berurah. Many assume the Mishnah Berurah is like the posek to rely on. Okay, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that's correct or not. But in the Mishnah Berurah's presentation of Suffolk Psychratia, it's in Simin Shin Tes Zayin, Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Tes Zayin. Three lines in the bottom of that Mishnah Berurah. Va'ayim betaz shechriya dekevan shehefriya chazavuvim shera'a be'inav tu ein tzarech la'ayin oladakdek ula yesham od ezav zavuvim. Right? It's talking about a bread box that there are flies in it. Closing the bread box would be trapping the flies. Right? You're not allowed to trap on Shabbos. So the Taz says if you shoo the flies away and you're not sure any flies remain, it's permitted because it's a suffix. Psikresha. Kev and Zeh lo have el safa psikresha bimilsa dirabanan. Who dover she'en bimino nitzo de'en lahachmir kolkach. In other words, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Taz that we can only rely on suffix psikresha if it's a dirabanan, if it's a rabbinic prohibition. Right? Trapping flies is rabbinically prohibited, not Torah prohibition. The Torah prohibition of trapping is when you trap an animal that you need to hide. I don't think anyone that I know of ever wore a fly skin fur coat. It would be kind of, first of all, you know how many flies it would take to make one fur coat? Second of all, it would look really disgusting. Third of all, like, what the heck are you talking about, Schwartz? Right? But the point is, the Mishnah Berurah only permits suffix psikresha on a rabbinic prohibition. It would seem to me that our case, the case that many discuss, the case of the light bulb in the refrigerator, that's a Torah prohibition. The light bulb in the refrigerator is a heat-generating light bulb. It's an incandescent bulb, no? So I don't think suffix psikresha would be matzir that. And additionally, I would say, in our case of heating the water, since it's potentially an issur d'oraisa, to heat up, I mean, it is an issur d'oraisa, to heat up the cold water that enters the boiler. That could be an issur d'oraisa. So the fact that there already might be cold water entering is only a suffix psikresha, and I don't think suffix psikresha can be matter in issur d'oraisa according to the Mishnah Berurah. The way Reb David Zvi Hoffman says it, it might permit it. I agree. But if we are Mishnah Berurah Jews, so I don't know if it could be permitted. It seems to me that's a very bad idea to try to rely on this kula of maybe there's a guy who has water on. It seems to me like it's unlikely both for mitzius reasons, like you don't know. You don't know that anyone really has hot water on. It's not likely. It might not even rise to the level of suffix psikresha. And for halachic reasons as well, I'm not convinced that suffix psikresha could be matter in issur d'oraisa. So these are some of the topics I wanted to discuss. Just one brief note. Next week, I don't think I can give the shiur. I did not realize until earlier today, but I have an event I'm supposed to go to next week. So next week, which will be the 20th of June, Haba Aleinu Latova, I don't think I can give the shiur. I believe the 27th I can give the shiur, and maybe we'll try to do one more topic of life in the Heights then, and I'd like to begin new topics after July 4th. July 4th is a Wednesday night. We won't have shiur that night. It's Yontif. We don't have shiur in Yontif. And so after July 4th, I'd like to begin a new topic. So if people have a suggestion for any more Heights topics, yeah.
Maybe we can continue the series of big dorm in Torah.
Yeah, so maybe we'll do that after the Heights series is over. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. Okay.
I was thinking maybe the Rambam versus Ramban.
That's hard. Maybe. I'll think about it. I had other plans. I was thinking of doing chief rabbis this time.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Chevra, have a good night.